Welcome to Questions About Heaven, a podcast about giving Bible answers to our questions about the afterlife with God. Each week, we seek to answer real-life questions with biblical answers about the life beyond this world. Now, here's your host, Brad Zockel.
Hey, good day to you. Wonderful day, as a matter of fact. Boy, it's beautiful outside. I'm looking here at the thermometer outside our barn studio, and we are looking at 77 degrees Fahrenheit. Can you believe that? Beautiful day. We can rejoice in the Lord for the good days, and we can tuck in and just rely on the Lord during the bad days, weather-wise or anything else. This is Brad Zockel, and you're listening to the Questions About Heaven podcast. We talk about heaven. We talk about the Revelation account all the way through the end times. We talk about the God of heaven, the path to heaven, end times, heaven itself, the new earth, Revelation 21, 22, all of these wonderful things as we stay pretty obsessed with our talk about the afterlife. And just as Blaise Pascal said, that God-shaped vacuum, which can only be filled with Jesus Christ, we look at that. Ecclesiastes 3:10 says, God has put eternity in the heart of all people. And really, we look at that as we are in our many, many discussions and studies and researching results through the study of heaven as we find it in the Scripture. We stay away from NDEs and we stay away from visions and dreams on here. We stay away from the subjective and go as best we can to staying loyal to the Scriptures and researching that. And today I wanted to share something with you. Many times we talk about the destination of heaven, and we talk about the rewards of heaven. We talk about the praise of heaven. But let's talk about today something else in meeting somebody. I've told you many times that heaven's not a place, it's a person. It really is. Oh, it indeed is a destination. And Jesus says in Luke chapter 10 that your names are written in heaven, believer. They are written there. It's as if we have signed a contract and we have real estate in heaven. Yeah, we talked about that. That's really just an amazing thing. But when we go there, it's amazing whenever we fill out our invitation, we have our reservation, and we enter into heaven, and we find one there, the person of Jesus Christ. And there's something very, very interesting that I want to share with you right now. As we look to Jesus, I mean, what's he going to look like, and who's he going to be? How will Jesus present himself in heaven? We know that the entire Godhead, the Trinity, is in heaven. Revelation chapter 1, Revelation chapter 14, and Revelation chapter 22, we see the Holy Spirit. Among other places, Revelation chapter 6, we see God the Father. Revelation chapter 5, Revelation chapter 19, Jesus himself. All through the Scriptures, we see the Trinity when we talk about heaven. So let's concentrate on Jesus today. And when we see him, what do we expect? Well, we're looking here, as Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13:12, as through a glass darkly. There's just so much that we don't know. As I said in an earlier podcast, the word King James Version, for example, the word mystery is used 22 times, and the word secret is 68 times. There are things that we just don't know. Paul says there were things that he could not utter back whenever he went in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 into heaven, saw those great mysteries. Daniel was perplexed by the many visions he had of eternity. It even tells us in 1 Peter 1:12, the angels are still trying to figure out what all this is about salvation. And then we look at Jesus, and we can find out something about him from what we see in the Scripture. Like I said, we are obsessed with staying with the Scripture. So I will tell you something. You know, you can say this, that my wife, would you know her? No, you've never met her. But what do we say? Well, her name's Jill, but her name is also Mom to some members of our family, Aunt Jill to other members of the family, Grandma to others, neighbor to our dear friends in the farm nearby and next door to us. She is Mrs. Zockel in town when she does business. She is called Sister whenever we're at our church services. She is gifted in music, and she's known as a singer. She has a number of different things that she does to help me at the house, including being the top accountant and a financial wizard, so she has those names as well. You see, as I give you names, it, little by little, you're knowing a little bit more and a little bit more, even on the secular plane. But when we see Jesus, what can we know about him? Well, first of all, let's look at some of his names to help us explain, not just a laundry list of names that, oh, that sounds good, and that sounds very Hallmark card, romantic, and that sounds so beautiful and poetic. No, we talk about what can we know about Jesus by the names that we have in talking about how we will walk into heaven and enjoy him. Well, think about this. In order for us to be there and in our walk here on earth, we can enjoy Jesus as the great high priest. That's his name in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 14. What does this mean? Well, he's the intercessor. The priest of the old days in the tabernacle was between man and God. Jesus becomes the great high priest, that intercessor. And so we can celebrate him, rejoice in him as being the intermediate. 1 Timothy 2:5 says there's one God. There's one mediator between God and man, and that's Christ Jesus. Now, we also know him as God himself, right? John 8 and verse 58, he is called the I Am. That's the name of the self-sufficient one. They all knew what he was saying when he said it. So he's not only the high priest, he's also God himself. Yeah, absolutely. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 8 says he's the Alpha and the Omega. He is the Almighty. It also says when we're talking about his deity, he is the first and the last, Revelation chapter 1 and verse 17. This is Jesus we're talking about now, the deity of Jesus, not just a carpenter, not just a preacher, not just a miracle worker. Indeed, wrap your mind around this one. It talks about the coming Messiah. His name is, it's a phrase, Isaiah 40 and verse 5, the glory of the Lord. Or think about this one. Whenever Christ has taken away the danger of sin to the ones who have come to him for salvation, 1 Corinthians 5 and verse 7 calls him our Passover, that the judgment has passed over us, just as it did to the Israelites in that time during the plagues. He's known as the Messiah, the Prince. In Daniel chapter 9 and verse 25, we see his regal splendor and also the fact that he is the deliverer. We also know him because of that, that he is, Jeremiah 23, 6, he's the Lord of our righteousness. See, my righteousness is not made by Brad. Our righteousness is made possible by Jesus. He's the Lord of righteousness. He's the master of over righteousness. And indeed, when we talk about righteousness and justice, he is also known, Acts 7, verse 52, calls him the Just One. He's the Just One, the One of Justice. And in this, because of this, oh, I love this phrase, he is the captain of our salvation. That's his name. Hebrews 2 and verse 10, the captain of our salvation. He is the Lord of our righteousness. He's in charge of our righteousness. He's in charge of our salvation. We've made those decisions, and now he's in charge to protect and to carry us through. He is indeed our deliverer. Romans chapter 11 and verse 26 tells us that as well. He delivers us not only from the bondage of sin, as it says, that enslaved us, Hebrews chapter 2, he's going to deliver us right into heaven, right? And we find our sustenance in him day by day and in there. That's why John 6:32 calls him the bread of life. And with all these different names, and we just barely scratch the surface, I want to share something. I held back one name because of a very, very important point for us to know. The life in heaven for the believer is so fantastic that the only way to say that you have received it, we continue being told you have made your decision to join the family, well, that puts you in line for the inheritance. Matthew 25, verse 34, you are to inherit this kingdom prepared from the foundation of the world, this salvation. Romans 8, 15, the believers are called heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. This is just so important for us to hear about this inheritance. Think about this. When we look in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 21, it tells us that all these things are yours. When we talk about, when we look at 1 Corinthians and you see the Corinthian church has been battling, has been having problems, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, there has been a schism. Some people call it a schism. Whenever you see their battles there. And then you also see they're dealing with deviancy in chapter 5 and even suing each other in chapter 6. But during a break in this instruction on this passage in 1 Corinthians, we go in chapter 3, we find something under the, when we're talking about the basis for living. And you know what it says here? Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seems to be wise in this world, let him be a fool that he may be wise, verse 18 says. And then we go down to verse 21. Let no man glory in men, for all things are yours, believer, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world, or life or death or things present or things to come. All are yours, and you are Christ's, and Christ is God's. It's talking about that inheritance. It's talking about these things that are yours to the believer. It repeats it, Ephesians chapter 1, verses 11 and 12. In him, in Jesus, we obtained inheritance according to the purpose, to the praise of his glory. The purpose is to give him glory. And I wonder if we do that in celebration of our salvation. We obtain this inheritance. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. This inheritance is incorruptible. It's undefiled. This inheritance to go to heaven and the joys of heaven does not fade away. It's reserved in heaven for you. Here's my point. I'm looking outside, out through the barn doors, and I can see the 2000 F-150 Ford pickup that my father-in-law bequeathed to me. I inherited that. It was given specifically to me. And I love that truck. It reminds me of him. And I putter around here in Pickens County in South Carolina. Don't go too fast on it. Have to kind of take care of it. Everything. Oh, it has a bit of a problem here and there. If you want to say corruption, oh yeah, we had to take care of some belts and, you know, other things here. But it's an inheritance. And it was given to me. And it's a wonderful thing. But listen very carefully. Robert could only give that to me as an inheritance in that way in his passing, and he passed 2 years ago, passed away. He died, and this is the way the world works. This inheritance is passed upon the death of the patriarch, the death of the one who held the inheritance. In this case, we can say this, the father passes the inheritance down to the children. Now, indeed, does the inheritance of salvation come from the father? Yes, but here is the grand twist. He doesn't have to die for us to get it. He is the everlasting Father. Isaiah 9:6 tells this of Jesus. He's not the dying Father passing on the last will and testament. He's the everlasting Father. You're receiving a living inheritance, a living will. Do you want to call it that? You're going to have that. And the Father is not going to pass. We don't receive this in his death. We receive this because of his life. He's the everlasting Father. Don't forget that. When we talk about Jesus, when we talk about the wonder of the Savior, we can celebrate the fact that he is not dying. He is living, and he shall live. Revelation 1:17, I am the first and I'm the last. I am the Alpha, Revelation 1:8. I'm the Alpha and the Omega. We get the joys of the inheritance, but we don't have to see the death of the patriarch. We have an everlasting Father and his eternal love, 1 Corinthians 13. We also have the inheritance of all of these wonderful things, being in heaven with the Father. Oh, there's so much more I could say, but I'm going to get going here, getting ready for us to do some more studies in Revelation. God bless you. You take care, and Lord willing, we'll talk soon.
Thank you for listening to Questions About Heaven with Brad Zockel. The Heaven Tour Ministry is traveling across the country and speaking on the Bible truths about our eternal home with God. You can find out more about our ministry by visiting our website at www.theheaventour.com. If you'd like to partner with us, receive our newsletter, or donate to our ministry, please go to our website at theheaventour.com. Look for the Heaven Tour Ministry on Facebook, TikTok, and YouTube. Thank you, and God bless you greatly.